Hey, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Of course, I'm here with Brian Sant, the NJGHS tech guru and producer of the show, The Deadline. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
How are you?
Still here.
I know. Thank God. I wouldn't know how to work all these buttons. Buttons, switches, wires. It's amazing.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah, for you. But no, I wouldn't be able to figure it out. So guess what?
What?
Today and tomorrow, April 17th and 18th, you can catch Mark and Mark of Weird NJ, Weird US fame, along with their author, Joanne Austin, who wrote Weird Encounters, and it took the best book of 2006 or whatever at the 2007 Ghost World. Anyway, so Weird Encounters author Joanne Austin, she has another, I'm sorry, it was Weird Hauntings. But her book that's coming out this October is going to be called Weird Encounters. So the book that won the prize at the Ghost World Conference was Weird Hauntings. Forgive me. Sorry.
Sheesh.
Anyway, so Weird Encounters. Joanne has that coming out this October. It's through the weird people, but you know, the Weird NJ family or conglomerate at this point.
The umbrella.
Yeah, but so those guys, Mark and Mark and Joanne, and I believe Ryan Doyle, if that's how you, or Duel or Doyle, if that's how you pronounce his last name, he did a lot of the photography and the artwork and everything for Weird Hauntings, and I think he's doing that with Joanne again for Weird Encounters, and they're all going to be at the Parsippany Hilton at ChillerCon, April 17th and 18th.
Well, I know where you'll be.
I want to go. I have to see. I have the kids that weekend. They were already bugging me, like, can we go? Can we go? And it's nice that it's in the Parsippany Hilton because it's a lot easier to get to than going all the way down to Secaucus. But anyway, if you want to, the tickets aren't available online anymore. You'd have to get them at the door, so you pay a little higher premium, but still. The, oh my gosh, excuse me.
Lordy.
The website for Chiller is www.chillertheater, and theater is spelled T-R-E on the end, .com. So you can go check it out and find out. Usually they have, like, Zachary is the host, and they have a lot of the, you know, the horror sluts there and different authors and a lot of those really cool those artists that make those, what do you call those, figurines or something?
Figures.
Yeah, the figures that they sculpt and everything from classic horror film things, and they compete, and it's cool. And if you have a lot, if you're into like the memorabilia or some obscure cult horror film, now they're even getting them onto DVD. It used to be fun to look through the VHS, but they've since transferred them all to DVD, so that's nice.
If you have
a
little stockpile of money, it's a good place to go.
Yeah,
you buy up those figures now, you can probably get them real cheap with the economy, because. Mm-hmm. Down the road, those things will be worth some money.
Yeah, and these guys are amazing artists. And then they have posters. You can get the different celebrities that are there. You can get your picture with them, get photographed, you know, 8x10 glossies. And what it's usually like 10, 20 bucks a signature. But, you know, that's how I met Reggie and the tall man from Phantasm and Elvira. You know, so it's fun. It's fun to go there. People really go all out when they do the costume party at Saturday night. Some of these costumes are extraordinary. It's just amazing.
Some of these people have no life.
Well, this is their life. They're totally into this, and I think it's cool. And if the weather's nice and the kids and I go, maybe we'll take Jezebel down for the ride. What the hell? That's just, she's a little difficult to park, you know. But but anyway, so yeah, so so that book that Joanne has coming out this October is called Weird Encounters, and it's going to focus on a lot of the ghost, first-hand account ghost stories and stuff, people encountering ghosts. I have two stories that are going to be, that have been accepted for print in that.
Ooh.
Ooh. Then I remember.
I don't.
Remember Jeremy D'Entremont when we went up to Portsmouth in New Hampshire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I interviewed him for these stories way back before this was... last summer before we even went up to Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. And, so that's how long ago. I forgot I even wrote them. She sent me an email. She said, oh, by the way, you know, they've accepted both your stories. It'll be in the book. The book's coming out this October. And I had to read the email again, like, because I was like, what stories? What book? You know, it was so long ago. But, yeah, so the two lighthouse stories, haunted lighthouse stories that I wrote will be in the Weird Encounters book. And They also have a new special edition. You know how Weird New Jersey comes out twice a year, every May and October? Like May 1st, October 1st. And if you subscribe, you usually get it a week before those. So like people who subscribe will get it the last week of April or the last week of September. But it hits newsstands, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, that comes out twice a year. And sometimes they do specials. I have a couple of special ones. They did a special mag on Clinton Road. They did one on, I think it was on Asbury Park, you know, and Palace Amusements and stuff like that. Well, they're going to have another special one coming out called Weird Death. And it's going to center all on cemeteries and graveyards and macabre, morbid kind of things, which, of course, Morbid Mobile Tours and Jezebel fit right,
right up your
in.
Alley.
Yeah. So they asked if I would write an article. They sent me a bunch of questions to answer and to write all this up. And hopefully we'll get a nice sunny day soon where the kids and I can take her to the car wash, clean her up, wax her, and we'll get some good shots and at high res. And that way I'll have an article coming out in the Weird Death magazine, too, when that hits the newsstands.
Nice.
I'll keep you posted. I don't know when that's going to hit, but I'll let everybody know to go get it. I'll definitely. I mean, I told Joanne, I'm like, just send me a copy of it. That's all I ask, you know, because it's, you know, I'm still only missing issue number 16, and I have every single Weird magazine published from the beginning. But 16 is elusive.
eBay?
I haven't looked there. And, you know, it's just as you were saying that, I'm thinking in my head, I wonder if I could look on eBay.
Or even Google it.
Yeah. Hey, Mark and Mark, if you have a spare copy of number 16 laying around.
Oh, I'm sure they lay around listening to the deadline.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'll pay for it. Because some of them, you know, they were out of print, like the real older ones.
Right, yeah.
And there was a little bookstore right in where I live in Mansfield. And I found them, and they even had them in a plastic, heavy-duty plastic envelope to protect them. And I mean, you pay. I mean, I think originally they were like $2 or $3 a copy, and I'm paying like $8 to $10 per copy now because it's...
Right, of course.
But I'm like, you know, I don't care. It's like I got that close to having the whole set, and that's the only issue I'm missing. So anyway, and some of my magazines are, you know, hundreds of dollars because I advertised. And to place the ad, like the most expensive one I had, I forget what issue number it is, but it was when we put the Ghost World ad in.
Right.
Jeff and Vince let me keep it, so we paid $600 for that ad. So I have a $600 issue of Weird NJ. Oh, man. You want to move on to meeting announcements?
Let's do it.
All right. North Jersey Division, you are next up at bat, coming this Tuesday, April 21st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Blue Room of the Community Center, located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. This month's meeting topic is weird creatures and monsters like Bigfoot, Mothman, Chupacabra, Jersey Devil, yada yada. Team leader Dina Chirico will be there leading this fascinating discussion as always. And on May 6th, is the Central Jersey Division team meeting. And that's in the Hazlitt Library from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The Hazlitt Library is conveniently located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Team leader Brian McCauley will be leading that meeting. And, of course, I will be there to make that announcement that he's the official team leader. Woo! All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Before the end of our lives...
We're trying to figure out what is causing this massive die-off of bats that's occurring here in the Northeast and spreading.
We could see the end of an entire species of bats.
And this is, in terms of bats, this is turning out to be, appears at this point, to be about as bad as one's imagination could have it.
I think you need to pass along this love of the earth down because it's... If you lose it, then we lose the earth in many ways.
Be a part of history for the filming of a new documentary and music journey at the Benefit for Caves concert, a music festival benefiting cave and bat preservation, 7 p.m. Saturday, August 8th, 2009, at the Widow Jane Mine, Rosendale, New York.
We can help in some small way. We'd like to be able to do that. And only through generous contributions and sponsorship, we may be able to fit a few hundred people into the entrance of this mine the Widow Jean mine, hopefully we can do it.
The Benefit for Caves, August 8th, 2009 at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale soon through the Tri-State Speleologic Society. For more information, visit benefitforthecaves.com, a production of the Tri-State Speleological Society, Incorporated, and Galileo Productions, LLC. Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the NJGHS.net website. Morbid Mobile Tours, we're waiting to take you away.
I'm Rosemary Ellen Guiley, author of many paranormal books, including the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the Encyclopedia of Witches, Witchcraft, and Wicca. And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each Parashare you submit, we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, only one credit necessary. So one Parashare is a $20 value because you're saving the lifetime membership fee and you're becoming a member of the largest paranormal investigating and training organization in the state of New Jersey. Or you may save up and cash in 10 credits for a natal chart. That's a $75 value. We'll keep track of the Parashares and let you know when you hit 10, and then you can send me your birth date, birth time, birth place, and I will send you a full-color natal chart with printout and my handwritten notes, too.
Well, that wasn't read.
Sorry, we have no Parashares this week. Now it's time for News of the Weird. The venerable 17th century astronomer Galileo Galilei was honored at a gallery in Florence, Italy, in February to mark the 400th anniversary of his transformative work, which was widely discredited at the time as contradicting the Bible, and which subjected him to vicious slanders. The exhibit includes Galileo's only preserved body part, one of his middle fingers.
What the hell would they need to preserve a finger for?
That's usually what you call a relic in the religious community, when you save the finger of a saint or something as a relic. Ugh. But in his case, it's a middle finger, which was very apropos for what they put him through.
F you, world.
Yes. The skeleton of a German retiree who tied himself to the top of a tree and shot himself to death nearly 30 years ago has been found by a hiker. German police in the southern town of Landshut said on Monday the 69-year-old man disappeared in 1980 and had been classified as missing. An 18-year-old hiker discovered a bone in the forest last week and brought it to the police. They searched the area and spotted the skeleton hanging about 11 meters up near the top of a spruce tree. After searching the area, we found the skeleton up in the tree and with the pistol hanging on a rope next to it, the police spokesman Leonard Mayer said. Police were able to identify the man through DNA testing and an artificial hip. Wow. Pontiac, Michigan. The judge wondered if she was an unwitting participant in an episode of Candid Camera or Punked. Oakland County Family Court Judge Cheryl Matthews wasn't. She just had a front bench seat Wednesday for a feud between a divorced couple over who gets frozen sperm from bull mastiffs they bred in happier times.
Why so serious?
When Anthony and Karen Scully split in 2002, they divvied up the six bull mastiffs they owned. He kept four, she took two. Now they're fighting over who owns the semen from Cyrus, Reg, and Romeo. That's being stored at a center in Sterling Heights. Matthews apparently didn't think her court had a dog in this hunt. The Detroit Free Press reports she referred the case to civil court.
Okay.
There you go. It happens. I've heard of people going through divorce fighting over custody of the dog.
Right, yes.
I've never heard of dog sperm being revisited in a court of law and who gets what.
I'm sure it was a precedence.
You know, it's like if you still have the dog, just get some more. You know? It's not that hard. You know. Anyway, in Sydney, two leading Australian rules players have been fined Australian dollars of 5,000, which is £2,428, I guess, if you go by British pounds, sterling pounds, each for their part in making an offensive video showing a rubber chicken simulating sex with a chicken carcass. North Melbourne's Adam Simpson and Daniel Pratt were each fined by their club after admitting they were among eight players who made the video last year. The video, which was posted on the internet but subsequently removed, has been described as tasteless and offensive to women and drew strong criticism from the sport's governing body, the AFL. The North Melbourne club decided not to suspend the players but instead fine them for breaching the team's code of conduct. Berlin, a German woman, was involved in three car accidents in less than an hour. That left a total of seven vehicles damaged, but she suffered only slight injuries from the series of mishaps, police said Tuesday. The 69-year-old woman from Berlin first crashed into three cars while trying to pull out of a supermarket car park on the Baltic resort island of Usedom. Then she accidentally stepped on the accelerator and sped across a lawn before crashing into a nearby house, police said. She was taken to the hospital in an ambulance, but that vehicle was then hit by a truck. She was actually fortunate that no one was seriously hurt in any of the accidents, say Zinowitz police spokesman Axel Falkenberg. The accidents were a little bit like dominoes toppling.
Woman driver.
Oh my, three of them in the space of an hour.
All I have to say.
69-year-old woman, okay? Come on.
Woman.
All right. In Denver, one Colorado woman's love for tofu has been judged X-rated by state officials. Kelly Kaufman Lee wanted to tell the world about her fondness for bean curd by picking certain letters for her SUV's license plate. Her suggestion for the plate, ILVTTFU. I love tofu, right? Well, the Division of Motor Vehicles blocked her plan because they thought the combination of letters could be interpreted as profane. Says Department of Revenue spokesman Mark Couch, we don't allow FU because some people could read that as street language for sex. Officials meet periodically to ensure state plates stay free of letters that abbreviate gang slang, drug terms, or obscene phrases. The 38-year-old Kaufman Lee says tofu is a staple of her family's diet because they are vegan and that the DMV misinterpreted her message. I will put a copy of the picture of this license plate on the page. It's pretty. I mean, I get it. You know, it does look like I love tofu, but for those of us who really aren't aware of tofu, it would
but the
look
rest
like,
the rest of the world
the rest of the world it would look like I love to F you. It's great. It's really great. Okay, moving on. Waco, Texas. A man was stabbed after causing a stink, literally, in a motel room while eating with a friend, police said. Five men from the Houston area were sharing a Waco motel room Tuesday night, and two were inside the room eating when one had a flatulence problem, Waco police officer Steve Anderson said. One man was so upset about the gas that he threw a large knife at him, cutting his leg, and then stabbed him in the chest, Anderson said. The 35-year-old man was transported to a Waco hospital, where he was treated for what appeared to be a non-life-threatening injuries. Jose Brol Ramirez, 33, of Houston, was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, police said. He was arraigned Wednesday and was being held in the McLennan County Jail on $15,000 bond and placed on an immigration hold, according to jail records. He cannot be released even if he posts bond until authorities verify he's in the country legally. What a shock.
Duh.
Okay. And now a follow-up on the strange lights that were seen over Morris County, New Jersey, that Brian missed this whole story when we first talked about. He's like, what lights? I'm like, remember? Anyway, it was a hoax, so you didn't miss out on anything,
duh.
Brian. Strange lights appeared over Morris County, New Jersey on January 5th this year. The bright red lights were first noticed in the night sky by an 11-year-old girl who pointed out three lights grouped together and another pair some distance away. The lights moved silently and slowly, then disappeared one by one.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane!
The girl's father, a pilot, said he was baffled. I've been in aviation for 20 years and never seen anything like it. Police fielded calls from alarmed residents and the supposed UFO made national news. The case remained open, among many UFO groups anyway, until this week when, on April Fool's Day, the two 20-something college kids, Chris Russo and Joe Rudy, admitted to the hoax. They said, we set out into the woods carrying one helium tank, five balloons, five flares, fishing line, duct tape, and a video camera, the duo now explain. After filling up 1 3-foot balloon with helium, we tied about 5 feet of fishing line to the balloon, secured the line with tape, then tied and taped the flare to the other end of the line. Once all five balloons were ready, we struck the 15-minute flares and released them into the sky. In a posting at skeptic.com, the pair said the hoax was a social experiment on how to create your own media events surrounding UFO sightings to show everyone how unreliable eyewitness accounts are, along with investigators of UFOs. Indeed, that point was well made. On the UFO Hunters show, investigator Burns and his team reviewed footage of the lights, concluding that these lights are moving without any independent movement. You can almost make out a frame. Yet, we know this analysis was completely wrong. The lights were in fact moving independently, tied to balloons in the wind. And there was no frame at all, triangular or otherwise. As Russo and Rudy note, if a suspected UFO investigator can be easily manipulated and dead wrong on one UFO case, is it possible he's wrong on most or all of them? From red lights in the sky to red faces at the History Channel, this solved UFO case proves that you can't always believe what you see, either in the skies or on TV. Now, think about it. Think about back to that famous actor and who did that whole thing with War of the Worlds, and he read it on the radio and it caused such a panic.
Oh, that was
Citizen Kane guy.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, yes. Yes. Very handsome guy when he was younger. And he did that whole thing, mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it was so believable, and people were in a total state of panic in New Jersey.
Yep.
Oh my God, what is it with our poor little state? But yeah, so here's 20-something-year-olds that just send up balloons, and it even embarrasses the History Channel, because here they have a show that's saying, yes, that's authentic. Wow, look at that. Wow. And you know, the scariest people in the paranormal field, and forgive me, but are the UFO people. I've said that over the years, and I can't apologize for it. It just is. They are scary people. Anyway, thanks for all of that and the news of the weird. And now we're going to move on to Chris Balzano of GhostVillage.com with your paranormal news updates.
The vault is open. You're listening to The Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com /news.
Good evening, I'm Christopher Balzano, and you're listening to The Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey on the Paranormal Newswire to bring you the biggest stories making waves in the ghostly community. A few weeks ago, Ghost Village covered the story of a paranormal group in Ocala, Florida, working to save a haunted inn. This week, we are sad to report their efforts were in vain. The Seven Sisters Inn was purchased by First Coastal Community Bank for $100,000 at a foreclosure auction Tuesday. According to Ocala.com, the auction price includes the two Victorian homes on the National Registry of Historic Places and everything in them, including furnishings the former owners had collected over the years. Tuesday, members of the group who had tried to save the inn through an online petition, Southeastern Paranormal Investigations, organized a public candlelighting ceremony to give their final goodbyes to a building they believed was vital to the local and paranormal community. Ghosts are notorious for complaining after a house has been renovated, but in South Africa, one might be helping to make the decisions. Like the famous Winchester House, spirits are offering advice at the old St. John's Church Rectory in Bathurst, so the new tenant, Marilyn Michelle, can get it done right. According to the Dispatch Online, soon after the purchase, she dropped her daughter at a medium's house in KwaZulu-Natal to advise on what to do with the ghosts. Instead, the medium told her a nun who had committed suicide in the house wanted certain alterations made to make it look like it had years ago in its heyday. Michelle followed the orders and has made peace with the departed nun, although several other spirits who were responsible for everything from odd smells and weird dreams to noises and lights have been thrown out by exorcists and witch doctors. And last from the wire tonight, if you've got what it takes, you too can be on Ghost Hunters. According to the Sci-Fi Network, there is a new show on the horizon titled Ghost Hunters New Generations, which has begun looking for talent to display. It appears the show will be more about educating investigators than the original Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. Quote, whether you're a college student majoring in psych, engineering, or journalism, or just a whiz with electronics or photography, you may have the skills that could be perfect for a team of up-and-coming paranormal investigators. And if you and your friends love to explore cemeteries and old houses, then we want to teach you how to do it right. End quote. You can officially sign up by visiting Sci-Fi's website or heading off to Pilgrim Films site at www.pilgrim-films.com/casting.html. Good luck. That's all the news we have for this week. Please stay tuned when we offer a special report later in the week on two different stories we've been tracking over the past couple months. Until then, you can go to our website at www.ghostvillage.com/news to get more information on these stories or anything else we covered during the week. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Welcome to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience. Take an 80-minute audio tour inside one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Available on iTunes and CDBaby.com. 100% of the proceeds go to StompOutCancer.com, a nonprofit charity that is working hard to help kids and young adults fight cancer. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience, a haunting way to help bring hope to those who need it most.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, it's time for Paranormal Pictionary. Each week, a picture of paranormal relevance will appear on the deadline page of the NJGHS.net website. Actually, a portion of the picture will appear beginning the day the show uploads, usually Friday. Each day following the initial upload of the show, another portion of the picture will be revealed. By Tuesday, if no one has identified the picture, the entire picture will be posted. Obviously, if someone figures it out before the entire picture is revealed, the announcement will be made on the deadline page and the entire picture will appear. The first person to email thedeadline@njghs.net with the correct identification of the picture will win an NJGHS t-shirt and membership in the NJGHS. And if you're already a member, you can pass along your winning membership to a family member or friend, but keep the t-shirt for yourself if you want. As always, NJGHS team leaders, and Brian, are not allowed to participate in this contest. Also, winners must not have won in the past 30 days via the NJGHS site or the deadline. Now, last week's picture was the Tower of London. Check out njghs.net/thedeadline.html to see this week's Paranormal Pictionary. Good luck. Alrighty, I need to remind people that on June 13th, Night Watchers Tours heads to the Shanley Hotel in New York and will feature the renowned spiritual medium Robin Marie, along with Todd Sheets and many more paranormal celebs. For tickets, go to www.nightwatchers.info. Plans for the first New England Paracon are now underway and are being produced by the spiritual medium Robin Marie and C.C. Carroll, the Huntress. The New England Paracon will be targeted for September 2009 and held in the greater Boston area, where it will feature an honorary award for outstanding achievement in the paranormal research, this year going to Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson. Watch for more details in the upcoming month. Make sure you sign up for the NJGHS Yahoo group. Now, the link for that is right on our homepage. Just scroll down. You'll see it. It's a freebie. Doesn't cost you anything. Even if you're not a member, you can still be part of the Yahoo group, and then you get the latest and greatest news blasted into your email box. Of course, it's really helpful if the cemetery hunt is canceled for inclement weather. Then you find out about it instead of having to check the website all the time. So go to our Yahoo group and sign up for that. Don't forget to be a friend on America's Haunted Road Trip, the MySpace of the paranormal. You can go to our homepage. There's America's Haunted Road Trip, Big as Life. You can click on that, or you can go directly to www.americashauntedroadtrip.com and register today. You'll network with paranormal authors from the series of books, as well as other investigators and paranormal fans. Pretty cool.
Very.
Yeah. So, I think that's it for this week.
I think so.
All righty. Well, thank you, Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
As always, thank you to our team leaders, Dina Tirico and Brian McCauley. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life you have to meet The Deadline.